Leviticus chapter number 19. So, new topic for the month of May. Our topic this month is probably going to sound a little odd, possibly. And for some, you may think, well, this doesn't apply, but it applies to all of us because it's beyond what just the topic maybe of tonight. But I want to speak, again, we're looking on Thursday nights about topics we need to have an understanding of living in the year of 2021. And because of the age in which we live, I want to address something biblically this month, and we're going to look at it in the four Thursdays, Lord willing. But I want to talk to you this month about public debating and arguing over things that are sacred. Because it's an issue. Because of social media, and not just in social media, but because of that, and primarily because of that, people many times will hide behind a screen and a keyboard, and they live to argue. And it doesn't do any service to the cause of Christ for believers to be arguing constantly in front of a lost world. And even not even just in front of a lost world, there's no point in it. I have not been completely innocent in this. I had to learn some lessons the hard way. Back when I first became pastor, there was a situation that I thought, you know, it was somebody I was kind of disappointed in, and I voiced my opinion. They weren't members of our church. They hadn't been for quite a while, and I was not right in the way I handled it, and so that was 16 years ago, but God taught me some good lessons through that that has helped in the days ahead. I hope you'll stay with me on this message because it's important. Especially, you know, you may say, you know, hey, I'm, you know, 60, 70, 80 years old. I'm not going to be doing any of this. It's not just an online thing, all right? We have to be careful because pride sets in. And remember this, only by pride comes contention. Now, how did it all happen? We'll read our text in just a second. I've put a lot of thought into this, and I think it's very important, and I'll tell you why, all right? But I think, and I've tried to study in how this, you know, where we got where we are in our independent Baptist world that we live in, I think it started kind of in the 90s, early 90s. There's some good men. I love David Cloud. I love a lot of his material is in our bookstore. I think he has some tremendous stuff. I think that that he kind of, not by his intention, but he got quite a following. There were people that quit going to church because of him. And he would tell them, you're wrong. And he would write about why they were wrong. But he kind of created this mentality to that he felt many times that maybe it was his responsibility to expose all those who weren't up to a standard that he thought was true. And while I would agree with most of the standards that, and principles and doctrines that he was teaching, understand this, it is not my job nor any other man's job to pastor any work or any people except the people that God has placed him over. We've lost that because in today's world, because of social media and because of all the outlets that we have, and everyone loves to make their point. Everyone loves to stir an argument. Everyone loves to dig in there and one-up the other person instead of seeking for truth. A couple years ago, our academy was in part of a fine arts competition, and we took a group of our young people up to have a debate. It didn't end too well for us, right, Jenna? But we took them up there, and but I was talking to the pastor of the church we were at, and he gave a big long speech about debate and the fact that the world has changed. Debate and the purpose of what we would define debate is a seeking of the truth. And two different people talking until we can find what the truth of the matter is. That's what real debate is. Everyone's lost that. No one even knows what that is anymore. Now debate is just arguing your point and trying to make the other person look bad. If you scroll through any sort of social media, if you're not on it, good for you. But Twitter, Facebook, you'll find all kinds of people trying to make their point. Just today, I said, you know, let me find an illustration. Took me about 5 seconds. I scrolled through and I found this. I found one pastor from a church not in our area, but he posted something that said that, you know, he basically bashed King James only churches and said they ought to consider the New King James and other books are good to study from. Well, another pastor responded to him and said that they only use the King James and that's all they'll ever use, and I amen that. And then he made a point by, you know, saying some things that were kind of probably hurtful. And then he went on in his post to talk about how his church gives you know, X amount of money every month towards the production of King James Bibles, and that's all they'll ever do. And he gave the amount of money their church gives. To which another pastor responded to that and used the scriptures that your right hand's not supposed to know what your left hand gives, and that you're just bragging. And that went on and on for like 10 posts. And a lost world rolls their eyes. And a young generation of believers in our churches says, what is this about? We need to understand what's going on and not participate in some of these things. I've made it a practice to do my best not to argue on the internet over sacred things. Would like to say I've been perfect for the last 15 years, but I probably haven't. No, I haven't. But and sometimes a right word spoken is appropriate, and we'll talk about that later. But be careful. And this month I want to talk about this. Be careful about, let me give you something else that's being done. You hear another pastor of a church preaching a doctrine that you would not agree with, all right? Be careful about trying to debate them. Be careful. Because you get sucked into an argument or something that the devil will use. And again, I'm going to give you scripture for this. So hold on, we're going to use our Bibles a lot. I'm just setting the porch here, right? But be careful. Because the internet, Facebook, Twitter, it's not church. It's not church. A lot of the issue that's causing a lot of this is the false teaching of a universal church. And so people feel like, well, I'm doing God a service by, you know, correcting this brother. And they even use Matthew and saying, if you have find fault, you know, bring it before the church or expose that. There is no such thing as a universal church. The only type of church taught in the Word of God is a local visible assembly of baptized believers. But since the autonomy of the church, a lot of that doctrine's being all muddied up. There's some muddying up in this area also. Say, what happens? If you have no idea, good for you. But someone will see, we'll call him Brother Jim. I don't think there's any Brother Jims in here, is there? Is there any Brother Jims? Good. All right. So Brother Jim is, you know, seen maybe on a post dancing or something like that, and everyone comes out of the woodworks and calls out a sin. Then other side starts debating why that's not a sin, and then they all start going back and forth on it, and eventually the cause of Christ is just hurt because a bunch of believers are mad at each other, saying terrible things towards each other, and it's doing God no service. Now, the fact is this, for some maybe tonight you say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I promise it applies to everybody, but especially to our younger generation that this is their life. I want you to look at this real quick in Leviticus. Look in chapter number 19. In chapter number 19, here's some teaching on, you see it in verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be what? Holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then the Lord gives some instructions in this chapter on being holy. Well, for time's sake, we'll look down in verse number 11. It says this, it says in verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. So you're not to steal, you're not to lie and hurt one another in that way. Verse number 12, you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. Don't curse. Don't say, you know, I they would swear or promise something on the name of Jesus. You stay away from that, all right? There's other scriptures towards that, but he was telling him not to do that because that would not be holy. Verse number 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. In other words, don't defraud someone. If you're going to be holy, if they work for you, give them what they're worth, all right? Give them a just pay. Don't promise things to people and not follow through with it. Verse number 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but thou shalt fear thy God. There are people that will need our help. There are people that may be weak in some way or handicapped. As God's people, part of being holy is trying to be a help and a blessing to them. Amen. And verse number 15 says about judges and being just. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Part of being holy is being just and treating people fairly. It doesn't matter if one guy has money or one guy doesn't. You treat everybody justly and right. We get down to verse number 16. And it says here what we talked about last month. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Don't be a gossip. Being a gossip is living unholy. Amen. And in the last part of that verse, don't lie or say things for the purpose misconstruing the truth to get someone convicted of something, all right? If they're standing in judgment, don't be a false witness, all right? And the blood of your neighbor throwing them under the bus, basically, in verse 16. Now we get to verse number 17. I'm just showing you we're dealing with people. Verse 17, this is all part of being what?
Holy.
Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy who? Brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, what is taught in this passage? We're not to hate our brother. Who is your brother? Biblically speaking. All right, these are the people that we love, the people that are around us. All right, you're not to hate them, you're not to hold a grudge against them. All right, but instead, and it's in there, you should rebuke your neighbor if the need is there. But you're doing this, in verse number 18 and in 17, 18, you're doing this in love. Now, you say, you just said we're not supposed to argue. You're not on in front of these platforms. There's a proper way of doing things, and we have mentioned it before. If someone is in error, ready? Catch this. You go to them and speak to them personally. That's what the Bible teaches from cover to cover. You go and speak to them. And if they need rebuke, praise the Lord for rebuke. And you do it in love with the purpose and the goal of restoration. But the idea of just blasting someone to embarrass them or shame them or try to get them to see it your way is not biblical. Or if you see someone who is in sin or is in error, and instead of talking to them, you just try to embarrass them or try to, you know, say something to let the whole world see, you know, wow, where they're off, you're wrong. That's not the way the Bible says to handle it. It always says to go to them. Look over in Matthew chapter number 7. Let's go there real quick. We're going to use our Bibles a lot, but we'll go quick. Matthew chapter number 7. Look at this. Book of Matthew chapter number 7. And look with me in verse number 6. Matthew 7, verse number 6. Matthew 7, 6 says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Believer, we're not to take what is sacred and holy and throw it out there and give it to the dogs or let the swine trample it under their feet. Pearls are sacred. Pearls are special. Doctrine and these things, You can't expect a lost world to understand the truth of doctrine. Matter of fact, it's foolishness to them. The preaching of the cross, it's foolishness. But to us who believe, it's the power of God. But when we take things in a public domain and just throw it out there, we throw the pearls before the swine. You say, well, that's one application of that verse. That is the context of this verse. Look back in verse number 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you. Should we help correct our brother? Sure. After we make sure we're right with God. But then we should go to them. If you're going to pull a mote, a tiny little something out of someone's eye, you can't do it 100 miles away. You got to be right there in their grill. Right? Right there. There is a personal contact. And when we start throwing these sacred things out there, we're hurting the cause of Christ. Now, rebuke is good. Rebuke is scriptural. The word rebuke means to correct, to show what's right, to reason together. That's what the word rebuke means. But I encourage you to study the Word of God, and we'll do it this month. That is always to be done first in person. Always. We just had an issue. Think how to say this. Many of us did a class together. I'll leave it at that, right? And we were still needing something that was owed to us. All right? And we're all waiting on it. Y'all good? All right. So we're waiting on this, right? And waiting and waiting and waiting. And the person we're waiting from wasn't answering any communication. And so I tried for about 2 months. And then finally, a couple weeks ago, I sent him another message that I know he was getting. And I said, and I did the proper thing. I said, this is wrong, you not answering. I said, my next step is to go to your pastor. And I didn't blast his name on the internet. I didn't make a post and say, this person's a jerk, right? Because that would just harm the cause of Christ. And this person is not a jerk. There were some things they were handling, right? But there was no communication. But I did the proper steps. I was reaching out, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask your pastor about it. And everything came in the mail the next 2 days. It was awesome. But you go to the person. Look at some verses here with me. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. All right, follow along with me real quick. Proverbs chapter number 25. In Proverbs chapter 25 and in verse number 9. Proverbs 25, verse 9. I could rest my case right here, but we'll keep going, all right? But Proverbs 25 and verse number 9 says this, debate thy cause with thy neighbor. Next word. There you go. There you go. Did you know there are churches around us that don't believe like us? I know it comes as a shock to everyone, right? But there are some that don't believe exactly like us, all right? There are some across the world that don't believe like us. Yeah, it's amazing. I know we're all shocked about this, but, it's not my job to attack anyone. It's not my responsibility. I can preach the truth. And if you'll notice on things that I may post and take a stand upon, I don't allow comments underneath of it. It's not a debate place. It's my page. I can put whatever I want to. But I'm not going to debate. Nor will I tag someone or attack someone or do anything to harm the cause of Christ. If you have a problem with someone, the Bible says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. discover not a secret to another. Look over in Romans chapter number 1. I want you to see this real quick. Romans chapter number 1. Look at these verses quickly with me. Romans chapter number 1 and in verse number 28. You see, when we start attacking, debating, and the word debating in the Bible, you'll find debating a few times in the Bible. The biblical term doesn't mean two sides seeking truth. It means a quarrel, a contention. And it's always in the negative form in the Bible. But look in Romans chapter 1, look in verse number 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder," and what's the next thing? "Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding," goes on, but you understand. This is a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is one that loves to debate, that loves to try to quarrel, argue, bring strife. It's part of a reprobate mind. Anybody see that? I'm just giving you scriptures tonight, all right? You can study it, please, yourself. In Romans chapter 13, look at this verse. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, look with me in verse number 13. Here's the same word, if you want to look up the word, but it's the same word. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in," here's that word, "strife." That means to quarrel with people and envying. I'm teaching this because there is a spirit in our world today and in our churches, unfortunately, where we love to argue. Just love to argue. We want to make our point. We want to look smart. We want to make the other person not look smart. We want to win. We want to get the last word. And there are some people that live, I promise, because I follow some of them, some people live trying to stir the pot. They just live for it. That is a reprobate, part of a reprobate in a carnal mind. That's what it is, according to the Word of God. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look with me in verse 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number, look at verse number 2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing." Now go back to verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." If we don't use love as the foundation of when we use our words, we're just making noise. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look in verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 3. Paul says these words under the direction of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3, 3, "For ye are yet" what? "Carnal. For whereas," because these are signs that you're carnal, "there is among you envying" and what? "Strife" and what? "Divisions." Are you not carnal? "And walk as men." Again, I say it's not just a social media thing. It may be around the water cooler at work thing. Maybe at the family reunion thing. If you're living to try to stir people up and just cause debates and problems and strifes, that's a carnal mind. Look over in Galatians, a few more pages to the right. Galatians in chapter number 5. Galatians 5, look at verse number 13. We're going to read a few verses here, so I'll read it fast. You follow along, right? Galatians 5 and verse number 13. I may ask you to say a word to make sure you're with me, all right? Here we go. "For brethren," Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." I have seen too many relationships between pastors and missionaries and good, godly people destroyed because they wouldn't quit biting and devouring one another. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the what? Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred." The word variance. The word variance means arguing. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can't be under the direction of the Holy Spirit and be carnal. And if you're being carnal, the Holy Spirit is not in control of your life. And part and a sign of not being spirit-led is that of variance, strife, wrath, arguing, causing these divisions and pulling one another. Again, I'm just giving you these scriptures to keep in mind before we jump into some debate to prove a point. Am I really following what God said to do here? Am I in accordance to the Word of God if I win this argument and prove that I'm right on Facebook? Go on to the next verse in Philippians chapter number 1, a few pages over. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 15. Philippians 1 and verse number 15. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. I'm just going to give you a little preface here. I have had this scripture helped me so much. Talking about the internet world, right? In Philippians 1, verse number 15, Paul said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill." What did Paul say in that verse? Some people are preaching Christ out of envy and strife. What is that? That's in 2021, right? That's making your biblical point, and you may be 100% right, but you're doing it out of envy and strife. Well, you're saying what's right, and Paul said it. Verse 16, "The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." But verse 18 is interesting. "What then, notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Now, here's where this helped me. I encourage you not to do it. But if you want to do an internet search of my name, there's some people that really don't like me. They have a lot of fun by pulling clips of my sermons. I've gathered some people's attention, and they love to tear apart some of the things that we preach and teach. And so it's out there, and it bothered me a lot. It was like driving me crazy because they were taking such things out of context. They were changing my words around by putting clips together. They were doing wicked things, but it was really bothering me. But then I was reading this passage and thought, like, one of the things that they used had like 7,000 views. I would have never got 7,000 views on my site, right? And all of a sudden it's like, well, at least they're hearing. And people that are actually interested and have a heart to learn are going to say, what did he say, really? And praise the Lord. So I'm okay. Not going to get mad about it. Not going to argue with them. If you want to repost my sermons, feel free. I just like that the Word of God's going out. But I could have got really angry and was very tempted to do so at first. And I had to get over that really quick. Turn over to Titus chapter number 3. A few more pages to the right. Titus chapter number 3. I could scare you and tell you I haven't even got to my sermon point yet, but they're really simple. Titus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 8. Titus 3 verse number 8. Says this, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies." And what? Contentions. What are you supposed to do with contentions, believers? I'll start reading. Verse number 9, second word. What is it? Avoid it. Avoid strivings about the law. I'm defending truth. Then have a conversation face to face with your brother and sister. Talk to them. But don't blast it all over the world and throw your pearls before the swine. Talk to them, because that's the biblical thing. Go to them. Because when you have these strivings and these contentions, they are unprofitable and vain. I'm just going to put it right there. Ready? You know how many debates that I've seen amongst believers on the internet? You know how many I can stand now and testify that the people, one of them changed? Zero. All it did is people got mad. And they divided. People that should be loving each other and working for the cause of Christ. I can't testify of one. Now, I can testify of people who sat down across the table and talked to each other. And we're going to talk about proper rebuke, you know, later this month. But notice here, these things are unprofitable. A man, verse 10, that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. You go to the person. That's the biblical thing. That's the only thing that's taught in the scriptures. And you try to reach them. But if they decide they don't want to hear it, then you pull away. But you've not destroyed a lot of people watching. Because there are, I've seen this. This is what happens. Someone who's mature in the faith and will speak only the truth will get so scorned and mocked that they end up pulling back. And it only hurts the cause of Christ. I've seen immature in the faith who are very zealous about something they heard and they know it's true, but they don't can't defend it, and they jump into some conversation with scoffers. And they end up getting so shaken and misguided, and the cause of Christ is hindered again. I know of young people that have watched and tried to get involved in arguments and conversations, and it only ended then sucking them away from the truth. You say, but that person's wrong. Probably, maybe. Look over in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Colossians 3, verse number 12. Colossians 3, 12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." Can I tell you, if that is what we've put on spiritually, you have a hard time arguing to make a point. Verse 13, "Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a what? Quarrel against any." What are you supposed to do? For Christ's sake, forgive him. For Christ's sake, have mercy. For Christ's sake, show kindness. For Christ's sake, show humbleness of mind. For Christ's sake, show meekness. Best definition of meekness I've ever heard is strength under control. For Christ's sake, show long suffering. Not making my point. I'll show them where they're wrong. And we keep on going back and forth. And all we do is hurt. a whole lot of people that are watching. So what do? Point number one. I got 10 minutes. Point number one. I won't even need it. Number one, be sober-minded. Here's the things I want you to write down, all right? Here's how we properly handle this. Number one, be sober-minded. Letter A, Proverbs chapter 12. I'll let Brother Sousa, can I use your Brother Sousa? Proverbs 12, 18, all right? But be sober-minded. Number one, use our words for health. Notice the scripture. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health. We should know Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. It was our scripture verse last month. Say it with me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Edifying. Minister grace. Before you get into a conversation, before you get into a debate, before you start to strive with someone else, I want us to stop and pause and remember these things, that my words need to be used for health. So that will take away the piercings of my words, the hurtfulness of my words. My words should edify and bring health to someone. Next verse, Brother Sousa, letter B, if you want to write this down, our words should be for health. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, our way should be heeded. There is a certain way to do things. Look at the passage of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, what's the next phrase? You can probably read it. Go and what? Tell him. Go. You know what that word go means?
Go.
Go. It means get up, not from your seat. That means go to them. Leave, go means to leave your position and to follow and go somewhere else. So you're supposed to go to him. That's the only thing taught in the scriptures, is to personally reach out to that person. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That's the goal. Restoration. If he hears you. Verse number 16, Brother Sousa. And if he neglect to hear thee, verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Next verse, verse number 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto what? Right here. You say, well, they're not a member of our church. Well, then, I present to you then it probably isn't your business. You say, well, they're not right. Then pray for them. Try to help them. And if it's such a severe matter, talk to their pastor, which is where I was a few weeks ago. And then let it be handled scripturally through the local church. Not Facebook. Not Twitter. Amen. You're all so quiet. Our word should be that of health. The way is given to us. It needs to be heeded. Letter C, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. The war should be halted. The war should be halted. In Romans chapter number 12, look at verse number 17. All right, here's what we're supposed to do. Romans 12, verse number 17 says this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The war should be heeded. I say this because, number one, you need to be truthful. Verse 17. Verse 18, you need to be peaceable. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what the Bible says. It does not say as much as it lieth within you, cause problems. As much as it lieth within you, make a point. As much as lieth within you, prove you're right. It says, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. You say, well, they need to know the truth. Well, where do we get the truth? From the Word of God. Where should that place be where we are perfected and we grow in the Lord? It's the church. So let the Lord work in their life. Help them, speak to them. But if, especially if they're not a member of our church, let the Lord speak to them. not our job to pastor the entire world. It's a full-time job to take care of ourselves. Verse number 19. We're to be truthful and try to be peaceful. Verse number 19, just be faithful. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He said, well, that person said some terrible things about me. Let God handle it. Let God handle it. I haven't batted 1,000 on this. I already told you. Especially when people started using clips and things. But I had to learn this. Let God handle it. And say, what do? I just block them so I don't have to see what they have to say. And I go on. They even got to the point, they signed me up using our church webpage and signed me up with the Latter-day Saints that I was interested in becoming a Mormon. And they showed up at my door upon my request. I was like, excuse me? Right? Didn't happen. Found out how it happened, right? Because they sent me a letter saying, ha ha. You see, there's a lot of self-control going on here that you don't understand, all right? Just truthful, be peaceful, be faithful. In verse number 20, be graceful. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, do what? If he thirst, give him drink. And in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be graceful. You say, yeah, but they're running their mouth. Be graceful. If at all possible, live peaceably with all men. And then lastly, be triumphant. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Just do right. You're on the winning side. So be sober-minded before you enter into these things. Let your words be that of health. The way needs to be heeded. Go to them. The war needs to be halted. Leave peaceably. All right, 1 Corinthians 13:1. I already read this verse. But our will should be to help people. That's what the only goal should be. And again, that's the verse in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that, I'll read it real quick. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If it's not done out of a heart of love, you're wasting your time. Our only goal should be to help. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29, Brother Suze, if you could, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29, our want should be to heal. Ephesians 4, verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. We should use our words not to make a point, not to win a debate, not to get, stir the pot, but only for the point of edifying people, showing grace and speaking it in love. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 12, next point. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, down to verse number 16. Let me read it first. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Our worry should be that we might cause hurt. Before we get into, again, I'm just sober, let's think straight before we get into this conversation, this debate, this envying, this strife. Before we end it, let's stop and let's remind, if you have to write these out and put them up next to your computer screen, all right? Whatever you have to do, all right? But remember, before I start to respond to that person, my words need to be that of health. There is a way that needs to be heeded. Talk to them personally. There is a war that needs to be halted. I don't need to cause something. I need to do it all possible, live peaceably with all men. My will should be to help them. I should speak to them in love, and with the goal of the want here is to heal them, to edify them, and to minister grace. My worry should be that I might cause hurt. I don't want to hurt anyone, not just the person I'm talking to, but people that are listening, people that are watching, people that are reading. I better be very careful, because my words can really hurt them. And what did Hebrews say? It will cause bitterness in life. I can tell you a whole lot of people, good people, that have a lot of bitterness in their heart because they wanted to win a debate. They got into a biblical argument. Now, if you want to talk about who the best football team is, knock yourself out, because those things don't matter. But when you're dealing with what is sacred and what is holy, be very careful, because you can hurt a lot of people. Our last one, and we're completely done, in James chapter number 1, verse number 19. James chapter 1, if you can put this one up, Brother Sousa, James 1, verse 19. Then we'll read verse number 20. I'll review our points about being sober-minded. Our words should be health. Our way, there is a way that should be heeded. All war should be halted. Our will should be to help. Our want should be to heal. Our worry should be that we might hurt. And then our wit needs to be hushed. I'm a very sarcastic person. I'm pretty good at making comebacks. There's a whole lot of times when I read things or talk to, I need to say, be quiet, Travis. Because James chapter 1 and verse number 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? But slow to speak and slow to wrath. Verse number 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I can't even begin to tell you how many even pastors that have got heated at each other through some online debate, only hurting the cause of Christ. They end up divided. The cause of Christ is greatly hurt. And what would have solved it all is if both, preferably, or at least one, just said, I'm going to be quiet. You may have a great answer, but is it going to help? Is it what we need to do? Again, we're going to study later this month. There is a time to speak, and there are certain ways to do it correctly. But let's be careful, and at least let's pause here tonight. And before we type out that quick response, before we strike back, let's be sober-minded here and think biblically before we do. It'll keep us out of trouble, and it will help the cause of Christ.